Seven games of hoops in a Tuesday night. Double OT game. Jokic 61 points. Steph had a great game, over 50 points. And Denny Avdia had a great game, second triple double in just a few weeks. My name is Shlomo Stark.
My name is Leva Jacob.
And this is the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. Levy, forget game of the day. We got game of the season, game of the year. A lot to talk about in this game. We got a nice Jokic is awesome corner. We got a Nikhil Alexander Walker corner if you want it. There's a lot of ways to go in this game. This game, I was watching it until I couldn't because I had to take my kids to school. But yeah, so it was a great game. It was back and forth the entire game. Always 2 points, 5 points. And game went into double overtime. The Jokic sent it into double overtime because in a nice shot, like he had Edwards and he's too big for him. And with 17 seconds left, the Nuggets steal the ball. Westbrook drives in for a wide open layup. They're up one when Westbrook misses the layup. Minnesota gets the rebound. Ball goes to Anthony Edwards. He finds Nikhil Alexander Walker for three, who... then Westbrook fouls, and Westbrook and then Nikhil Alexander-Walker makes 2 of 3. Minnesota up one with 0.1 seconds left. Jokic gives a legendary like attempt to like tap it in from full court with 0.1 seconds left, which I respect him for trying. Minnesota wins. Minnesota has now beaten Denver 5 times in a row, 2 of them including our playoffs from last year. Nikola Jokic, Jokic's awesome corner, finished the game with 61, 10, and 10. He is the third player with a 60-point triple-double, and Luka Doncic and James Harden joining them. Nikola Jokic did not leave the game since the 6-minute and 28-second mark in the second quarter. He played a total of 52 minutes and 38 seconds. And he was just awesome. It's the worst loss of the season for the Nuggets. Huge win for the Timberwolves. I think I've given all my notes on this game.
You said Westbrook fouls Nikhil Alexander at the end of the game. I don't know if I'm being honest.
Wasn't a foul.
Think so. He didn't really end up landing in his he didn't end up being in his landing space or whatever. You know, like that's part of the fouling, whatever.
I'll correct myself. He was called for a foul.
Yeah. Just watching it. Listen, I'm a very big Russell Westbrook fan. Even if I wasn't a Russell Westbrook fan watching that play, I'm like, I don't know.
I actually first watched it without sound. And I just like Nuggets win. And then I'm like, well, what's happening? Why isn't the game over? And then I put on the sound and see he was fouled. If you actually look, though, he does fall. Which kind of like, you don't have
Reggie
to
Miller always used to fall. But I'm saying if you look at the momentum and whatever, it wasn't because of Russell Westbrook's force that he fell. He takes kind of a fadeaway, Nikhil Alexander Walker.
For a while.
I don't, like the missed layup is terrible. No matter any way you cut it, it was just unfortunate. Like I missed the days of Russell Westbrook on the Thunder. He used to cut the defense and then have the craziest finishing ability. Not the case anymore, unfortunately. He's been like this for a few years, but the foul was just rough.
Yeah, to quote Worldwide Wob, who we'd love to listen to this pod one day, you gotta live by Westbrook and die by Westbrook. That's just how it goes. Yeah, hopefully today's the day he gives us a listen. Mention in the tweet that we gave him a shout out.
Day five. The crowd was at times louder than the announcers, and I absolutely love that. And I'm very excited for the playoffs.
And this game really mattered for seeding. Because the Nuggets loss puts them only half a game ahead of the Lakers, which is like nothing, half a game. And the win now ties up the Timberwolves with the Grizzlies. Grizzlies get the tiebreaker, so they still have the sixth spot. But now the Timberwolves are tied. They're the seventh seed and tied for the sixth seed. So this game really mattered for seeding. It wasn't just like these teams don't like each other. It was a really important game. Next. Warriors beat the Grizzlies 134 to 125. Curry was just phenomenal, and these Grizzlies just keep losing these games. But Curry scored 52 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 16 of 31 shooting, 12 of 20 for 3. I definitely would have led with this had we not just like had this Timberwolves Nuggets game been so amazing. Is it real? You know how like every stat that exists now, you're like, oh, It's really cool, except Will did it like 10 times better.
Yeah.
So this is pretty cool. Most 50 plus point games after turning 30. Okay. James Harden and Michael Jordan and Dame Lillard all have 6. Wilt Chamberlain has 7 and Steph Curry has 10. That's a cool stat. To beat Wilt by 3 in anything is like amazing. Like, he's demolishing the Wilt record of 50-point games after turning 30. It helps to be the greatest shooter in NBA history. He's so good at, like, it's so fun when Curry catches fire to, like, just watch him. Like it just, the ball doesn't miss. It's so cool. Like, he can shoot from anywhere.
That draft, the 2020 draft, right? Like in my mind, that's the craziest part about it. If they had picked, they really could have picked anybody else in that draft, not James Wiseman. And it could have really, really changed the outlook of the team, obviously. But Steph Curry always has like that option as he gets older to become an off-ball shooter at some point at the end of his career also. Like the fact that he's still a dominant primary option on ball point guard and continues to do this is just incredible. He's just unreal. Steph Curry.
I wish we could have led with this because I really like Steph Curry. One more Steph Curry thing to note. How many players have had 10 threes in a game? Okay, multiple. All right. Steph Curry has had 27. Do you know how many Klay Thompson had? He's second place.
Second place with 10 or more. It's not much. Compared to Curry, it's nothing, I'm sure.
It's 9. Literally triple. Dame Lillard is third place with 6. And tied all who have 3 is Zach LaVine, James Harden. Can you guess the third?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get it.
The answer is J.R. Smith. It's just like, yeah. It's so funny to see him on this list. It's like, yeah, I guess like when you take 33s sometimes, like you'll hit 10.
But he was also the kind of guy who like...
He got hot. That was definite. Like that's why I was saying you were getting warmer. Because you're like, oh, so who is get hot for me? Like, yes, J.R. Smith would get hot like twice a season. Next, Milwaukee beats Phoenix 133-123. I think there's a bit of a rivalry here because of the finals.
Also the KD Giannis thing. He didn't play.
I think Booker Giannis.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but KD Giannis also in the Eastern Conference Finals. Remember that was the game where KD scored
a lot? Yeah. There's like a lot of, there's just a lot. It just feels like, there's real beef here. People, they step up when they play each other. Giannis finished with 37, 5, 11 assists and 3 steals. Booker finished with 39 points, 3 rebounds and 11 assists as well. Bucks end their 4-game losing streak by scoring a record team field goal percentage of 68.9% from the field. They shot 51 of 73. Also, Doc Rivers improved his career record to 1,155 and 816 and tied Phil Jackson for 7th place in NBA history for regular season wins.
That's pretty crazy that there's going to be a few more tallied numbers on that before he gets fired by the Bucks. Kind of crazy.
I don't think he needs to get fired. His team just shot 70%.
That's okay. That's like when the Melo era is coming to an end for the Knicks and he dropped 60 points. Everyone was like, oh, does this mean that Melo's sticking around? And I was like, no, please. Get rid of him.
I don't know. I don't know if I should, if you want to blame the coaching. Like, Dame's old and he's getting everything he can out of Giannis.
Yeah, but the rest of the team is kind of...
The team is bad. I don't think Doc's bad.
I just think that they can find better...
They got Kyle Kuzma. What do you want him to do?
I don't know. Express differently to the team. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but I just feel like...
I think it's a good team. I don't think it's... I mean, they might fire Doc, but I think that'd be a mistake. Doc's a great coach. I don't think Doc is the issue on this team. I think the issue on this team is the GM and like the roster they've built around Giannis basically since that finals. They traded Drew Holiday. They went all in on Dame. You don't go all in on a guard who's like old. Like that was just a bad move.
Yeah. Yeah. It's upsetting to watch player.
It is upsetting. I'm just not blaming Doc.
I was wondering if moving forward, the noise about Giannis going to Golden State is going to be louder, or the Heat, something like that.
Maybe. I guess we'll see. Next, we got that Portland win. Denny Avdija has been so good. 32 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists. They beat Atlanta 127-113. What more do you want from Denny Avdija? I think he's officially the best contract in the league. Now, I used to like, people used to text me that and I'm like, we're Jewish. You love texting me that the Jew has the best contract in the league. Now I'm not sure it's debatable because like he's the type of player I think should win most improved. Not Cade Cunningham. Like Cade Cunningham is the first overall draft pick who was really good last year. And now he's really, 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 really good. Danny Avdija, no one knew his name last year, and now he's like just, he's unreal. But he's not all-star. That's the type of like guy I think should win most improved, not like someone who might be an MVP candidate in 2-3 years.
100%. You're right. You're 100% right. Also crazy, I don't know if any of us had on our board that Danny Avdija would be, that the Trailblazers would be Danny Avdija's Trailblazers this year, honestly. Pretty crazy.
Probably like Danny Avdija's mom, but like that's like about it. Next, New York beats Philly 105-91. We are now back to beating bad teams again, which is nice. OG Anunoby was really good, 27 points, but like an efficient 7 of 16 shooting, 11 of 13 from the free throw, 2 steals, had like a really nice dunk. Mitchell Robinson looked alive for the first time, 14 of 14, 5 of 9 shooting. Also, Tibbs really like mixed up the minutes here when he saw we were just destroying them. It was great. Great win.
Yeah, it's coming together. It's coming together. It's the right time for them to be trending upwards, so that's exciting.
Orlando beats San Antonio 116-105. Again, Banchero and Franz with 20 points each. They beat the Spurs. The Spurs are really, like, really trying to get Cooper Flagg now. Like, they are putting in every, you know, they're just trying so hard. They are not playing like they're good players. It's like a lot of Julian Champagne minutes, you know?
Champagne, yeah.
Champagne.
It's been interesting because we've also gotten to watch kind of the campaign of the basically assumed rookie of the year at this point, Stephon Castle. We've got to watch a little bit more of what makes him special. He's playing a lot more out there. He's just great on both sides of the ball. But a note for the Magic is that Franz has started to adjust his game. He's shooting more threes over the past couple games, which is probably much better for them. Also, KCP started to heat up at the end of this game from three-point range. If they're able to sustain that from the end of this game moving forward, this could also be something that unlocks this team to be a little more competitive in the playoffs. So we'll see.
Yeah, and counter to your Franz point, we don't really want him to, if you're a Magic fan, you don't really want him to shoot more threes. You want him to make more threes. And he was 3 of 10 from three. So I'm flagging that, no pun intended, for Cooper Flagg. Next and last game of the day, Bulls beat Toronto 137-118. Bulls clinched the play-in for the third year in a row. They're the most play-in team there's ever been. Reinsdorf loves a good play-in team. They're never going to blow it up. They are never going to contend. They are just going to sit in their 8, 9, 10 slot and be a destined play-in / first round loss. Good for them.
Kobe White, in the last month, was Eastern Conference Player of the Month.
Did not know that either. I always wonder how important is Player of the Month.
Over the past month, Kobe White has been shooting basically 50% from the floor of 87% free throw. He's been averaging 27.7 points per game. That's pretty good. This team, they're just a lot of fun to watch. This Bulls team is a lot of fun to watch. They have so many random different people contributing, so many random different pieces, but they're really, like, Kevin Herter, he's killing it out there. Montas Buzelis, like, gives them a lot of energy.
This is the most you thing. I haven't said a word in 5 minutes, and all I said was, like, Bulls made the play, and then you're like, can I do like 6 minutes in the Bulls right now? Like, I literally have not said a word. And like, where was this when like I spoke about like the Minnesota Denver game? You had like 2 things to say. Here you go through the entire Bulls roster when they're clinching the play-in.
Because I feel like
who you are. You're just like let me cook. Like, let me tell you about Kobe White.
Because I feel like all the analysis on Wolves Denver, like, that's going to be everybody's leading thing. That's like, everyone wants to hear about it, but at the same time, like, no one's going to say anything new under the sun about
that. Coming here for Bulls analysis?
Well, of course not, but it gives them a maybe a better look into what the rest of the playoffs are going to look like. That's all. I'm not talking about the Jazz right now, you know.
That was the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. I want to thank you, Levy, for co-hosting and producing. I want to thank you for listening.